All right, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online tonight to our Bible study here at Waldo Baptist Church. I came in tonight, Brother Gary out there on the in the vestibule was telling me about this shooting in Lexington, Kentucky. Want to pray for the policeman that was killed, his family, and for the two women that were shot and killed, their family. And there were two men that were shot but are surviving, their family and them. Lift them up in our prayers. Also, John Taylor is going to see heart specialist tomorrow. So we'll remember John Taylor in our prayers too, as he'll be seeing the heart specialist tomorrow. His heart's in AFib, has been for a while, and so they have to get his heart back in rhythm. And so I'll remember him in prayer as well as he goes to the heart doctor tomorrow. And but this also, if Caleb brings the youth over, we'll still have our prayer time, even if he doesn't. But if he does, we want to remember these flood victims. There's so many, it's unbelievable, from this flooding that happened in Texas. Remember those families and people in our prayers as well. And so there's a lot of things that we need to think well about and pray over tonight. Remember to lift up in prayer. It's good to be here with you tonight. God bless you. Be in the Lord's house with you on Sunday night's a good place to be. And we're glad that everyone is watching online. We appreciate you. We appreciate and want to say that we love you. We thank God for you and pray that you will be following us not only online tonight, but in our morning services on Sunday morning, Sunday school, Bible study, and all the times that we are online. We appreciate it very much. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, as I was driving over here tonight, listening to AFR radio, they were talking about evil in our world today, and it is so prevalent. We don't have to tell you that. You know that. Even the thoughts and imagination, as it was in the days of Noah, seems to grow worse and more evil. And Father, we realize that our hope is in Christ and Christ alone. We look forward to His coming to make every wrong right, and to deliver us from this culture of darkness that our world is so immersed in. And Father, we lift up and pray for all these that we've mentioned tonight. They suffering, heartbroken, despair. Lord, they need your love, and we pray that not only will you comfort them and love on them, but through this experience, may those that do not know you come to know you. May they be called out of darkness into light and come to know you as Savior and Lord. Bless, Lord, these families. Watch over and care for them. As we come to you tonight, Father, I pray that you might give us, through your word, the assurance of our salvation that brings joy to our hearts, comfort to our trials, and an expectation that as we look to the future, as we look to eternity, we live in expectation of the glory of an almighty God, a sovereign God from Father, we thank you that where there was no way for us, you made a way through your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we have been gloriously saved by his atoning sacrifice. And it has been cemented in our hearts that it was enough by the resurrection of your Son. We pray tonight as we look at your word together, you might teach us, you might guide us, you might help us to see, Lord, how certain it is, how we can know that we are a child of God through the word of God. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us when we did not care for you and drawing us into your marvelous light of salvation and making us a child of God and adopting us into your family and kingdom. So we give you praise and glory because of who you are, because of what you've done, because of what you're doing, and because of what you're going to do. Because you, above everything else, are faithful. And we thank you so much for that. Bless as we study your word together. Give me clarity of mind and speech. And Lord, may I share the word of God in such a way that it glorifies you, it edifies us, it makes us love you even more, and gives us a heart of gratitude because of who you are and what you've done. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. Of course, we're in the book of 2 Peter, and the scripture that we're tonight, as this morning we studied about assurance of salvation, and we studied about how that blessed us in our Christian life. Tonight we want to go springboard off, if you will, of this 10th verse in the first chapter of 2 Peter to 1 John. The Gospel of John is written so that we might believe in the name of the Son of God, and we might be saved, we might be regenerated in our faith and belief and repentance. And the book of 1 John is written, as we will look at in just a minute, so that we might not only be saved, but we might know we are saved. That God might give us that assurance of our salvation within our hearts. And this is where I see a lot of Christians missing it. If you don't have the assurance of your salvation, you don't enjoy the trip. I'm on a journey. I'm on my way to heaven. And I know that. But it is not only that I am going to be there with the Lord throughout the ages of the ages of the ages. But here and now, through the scriptures and the word of God, he wants me, for his salvation in me to become such a reality, that I enjoy him and I enjoy the trip that I'm going through on my journey, that I'm going to end up with him in his kingdom in a perfect place called heaven. And so I see so many Christians that we get caught up in the world and we get caught up in everything else. We don't enjoy the trip getting there. And so God wants to give us assurance through his word and spirit that we might be able to be in such a place in our own life, assured of our salvation, that we can enjoy that he has given us becomes a reality in our life to the point that we enjoy the trip that we're on. And we can share that with other people as well. So tonight, I'm going to read chapter 1, verse 10, and then we're going to the book of 1 John. He says, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." By the very words that he says, we know, and we looked at verses of Scripture this morning, that we can know, and of course one of the greatest of those is in the book of 1 John, in the 5th chapter and the 15th verse, where he gives a summary of the reason for the epistle. And he says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And so Scripture itself verifies that we can know by the Scripture. And as I said this morning, I don't go by feeling because I feel different every day. I go by what the Word of God tells me concerning my salvation and my position in Christ that is guaranteed through the Word of Almighty God and the promises of Almighty God. So tonight, we're going to go through 1 John and we're going to look at what I call litmus tests for salvation. When I went to college, I majored in chemistry and biology, and as a chemistry major, one of the most basic things that we did was to test chemicals to see whether they were basic or acidic. And to find out if a chemical was basic or acidic, you had a little strip of paper, and it was called litmus paper. And when you put that paper in the solution, by the color it turned, you could tell whether that solution was basic or acidic in nature. Well, when John writes 1 John, he has given us litmus tests, if you will, concerning our salvation, that we might know, according to the Word of God, that we truly have been born again, that we've truly been saved, that we have been, by the promises and the certainty of our salvation through the regenerating process, we have a new nature and a new life that we never had before that cannot be taken from us, but is guaranteed through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of Almighty God. Now then, another thing that he tells us here in 1 John, if that's where you are, chapter 1, 1 John, next book right after 2 Peter, 1 John chapter 1, he tells us here in the fourth verse of chapter 1, what does he say? We write this to make our joy complete. Well, he writes what? Verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. And our joy is made complete as we are assured of our salvation in Christ, and it becomes such a reality in our life that we don't have to doubt it. And so, because Satan will always attack us in that way, to doubt our salvation and the goodness of God. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And 1st of all, number one, are you enjoying fellowship with Christ and with God? In chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, that's what we're talking about here. And he gives testimony to the fact that what he is writing about here and what the apostles, they saw, they felt, and they understood. And that's what he says. The life appeared, verse 2, we have seen it and what? And we testify to it and what? And we proclaim to you what? The eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. And so, the first question we ask ourselves then is, do we have fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ, and with God the Father, and of course, God the Spirit? In verse 5 of chapter 1, this is a message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Now, verse 6 is our first litmus test that we find when we get into the Scripture here. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies, goes on purifying us from all sin. And so the first test we see is, what is the pattern of your life? What is the pattern of your life? If the pattern of your life is to live in disobedience to the Word of God, then let me assure you, if you can do that and not be convicted, then you've never been saved. You've never been born again. Because there are a few things that happened to me immediately upon my salvation. And I've shared this with you before, and we'll be looking at this in detail a little bit later. But as soon as I was saved at CTS Corporation in Paducah, Kentucky, of all places, as soon as I was saved, what was the first thing I noticed? I walked out on the back deck of the plant where I worked. I looked up into the sky, and it looked different than anything I'd ever seen before. What happened? I thought in my mind, God, you've changed everything. In reality, God changed me. In reality, God changed my total mindset as to my world in which I live. But the thing that overwhelmed me was, suddenly I love people. Because before, I'll be quite honest with you, I didn't have time for anybody. The only person I really cared about was myself. The only thing I cared about was how much money I could make, what I could get, and where I could go, and what I could do. That was my life before I was saved. And I was a miserable person, believe me. I was miserable. I was an angry person. I've taken my fist and knocked holes in the sheetrock walls in our house because I would be so angry, whether it was envy, jealousy, whatever that it might be. That was my mindset. Immediately, I mean immediately, there was a love in my life and in my heart that had never, ever been there before. And it was staggering. It was overwhelming. The difference between 30 seconds and 30 seconds. 30 seconds before, 30 seconds after in my life. And I went to church before because I was the custodian in the church. Because it was a job. Because they paid me money. That's why I went to church. The moment I got saved, I didn't care if I was custodian. I didn't care if they paid me money. In fact, I would have paid them to go. Because suddenly, my life flipped in such a way, I couldn't wait for Sunday to get here to be able to get into the Lord's house. So why am I sharing you these things? Because sometimes we take them for granted. That desire you have to be here tonight. Why isn't everyone here tonight? That desire you have to be here tonight, God gave that to you. God gave that to you. The desire that you have. And as we get into the Word here in 1 John, the love that you have. The love that you have in your heart. I even love Henry Brown. It's hard to love Henry Brown. Trad used to have a saying. Henry, I can pick on him. We've known each other. We went through school together. Okay. Trad used to say it's hard to love porcupines. They stick you. Well, there's some people it's easier to love than others, but you'll even love porcupines when God gets a hold of your heart. Now then, what is he saying here? The pattern of my life, suddenly I wanted to obey God. I wanted to please God because of what he had done in my life and what He had given me in my life for the first time in my whole life. Life made sense. Life had a purpose. Life had a meaning where it never did before. And it wasn't about me anymore. It wasn't about me. It was about Him. It was about Him. So the Bible says, if we claim to have fellowship with God, and this is a big one, because we'll have people that come all the time and claim. I never forget when we moved into this auditorium, and just a few years after that, we decided to do a survey of Massac County. And so myself, almost every member of the church, we went door to door in Massac County. We knocked on every door and we asked them questions. One question was, where do you go to church? Another question was, do you know you've been saved? You've been born again? And we had questions that we asked them as we took our survey of all of Massac County going out from the church here. And it was quite comical sometimes, and it was very saddening sometimes as well. I remember one lady and man that I knocked on their door there in Brookport, and I asked them, I said, where do y'all go to church? Well, first I asked them, I said, have you been saved? Do you know that you've been born again? If you died, you'd go to heaven. They said, oh, yes, yes, we do. I said, well, where do you go to church? They said, well, we go to Waldo Baptist Church. I said, you do? I said, could you tell me maybe who's the pastor there? Who the pastor is at Waldo Baptist Church? And they said, well, I don't know if we could answer that. We don't really know. They change so often. And so finally I told them, I said, well, I just happened to be the pastor at Waldo Baptist Church. Another family I went in and sat with there in their home, and I sat with them and I asked them the same questions, and I said, do you pray? Well, if we really need something, do you read the Bible? Do you study the Bible? The Bible was on a shelf, probably covered in dust. And they said, no, not really. And I said, well, where do you go to church? And they said, oh, we don't go to church. There's a lot of hypocrites there. And I'm thinking, well, you're right about that. I'm probably one of them. And so then I asked them these questions. And I wanted to make an illustration that I could show them the folly of what they were telling me. So I said, you know, I said, what if I came into your house and I said, I'm a football player. And you said, well, what team do you play on? And I said, well, I don't know. They say, well, what's your jersey number? And I said, well, I ain't got one. They say, well, where's your football? And you say, well, I don't have football either. I said, pretty soon you're going to think I'm not a football player, aren't you? I said, you know, I have people all the time tell me they're Christian. They don't want to go to church. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. They don't do any of these things. And yet they tell me they're Christian. I said, you know, I begin to doubt if they're really a Christian or not. The Bible says that one of the litmus tests of your life and my life as a believer is that there will be a sincere desire in our heart to walk with God. There will be a desire that the Spirit of God has put within us. That don't mean we're perfect, because we aren't. But it means that the desire will be there in our heart to obey God, to walk in the light as He is in the light, that others might see Christ in us. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we're lying and deceive ourselves. So that's the first test that we see. Then when you go on in chapter 1 and you go to verse 8, If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I remember another lady that I visited with, and the reason I went to see her was because I knew she was lost. I knew she'd never been saved. And from the time I got there till the time I left, she was telling me how good she was, how wonderful she was, all the good things she had done, and how marvelous a life she had. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm a worm. I'm trash. I'm absolutely nothing apart from Christ. But I couldn't even talk to her about Christ because she's telling me how good and wonderful and marvelous she is. You see, the thing about it is, and this is something that I seem like was brought up, or somebody mentioned this, maybe it was even me, in Bible study this morning, is the truth of the matter is this. Nobody gets saved without true repentance. And nobody truly repents until they're confronted with their own sin. And the Spirit of God is the one that convicts you of your sin. And true conviction. The Bible says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. I could not believe that God would save me. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. You know, the truth is, the closer I get to God, the more sin I see in my life. Things that I used to think weren't that wrong, closer I get to God, the more I see they're wrong. Because I've seen people really get saved, their life changed, and they'd come to me and they say, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not." And I say, "Why?" And they say, "Well, God showed me this sin in my life." And I said, "Well, did He show it to you before you were saved?" He said, "No." I said, "Pretty good indication you're saved, isn't it? That God would reveal this to you." You know, there's just two kind of people in the world. Lost sinners and saved sinners. That's the only kind of people in the world today. And so, when I come to the Lord, it's nothing that I've got to boast about. The only thing I've got to boast about is God saved me and forgave my sins. And I'm still a sinner, but I've been saved by the grace of God. So He tells us that's another test that we have in our life as well. Then you go on down to chapter 2, verse 3. We know that if we have come to know Him, if we obey His commands, the man who says, "I know Him," but does not do what He commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And the truth is not in him. It's not aerospace engineering. It's that if God in the Holy Spirit and Christ lives in you, you'll have a desire to obey Him. You'll have a desire to obey. Do I always do that perfectly? Not at all. But do I want to do that perfectly? You bet. Because when He saved me and put His Spirit within me, I don't want to grieve His Spirit. You know, especially if you're a pastor, if you haven't got the Spirit of God living and working through your life, you might as well stay home. There's no place for you. Because I can't change anybody's life. I can't change anybody's life. If Christ is not living in me and working through me, what good am I? So the Bible says here in the Scriptures, He says, if we obey His command. I have a desire in my heart to obey His commands, don't you? Don't you have that desire? Do you always do it? No. You don't, do you? You're still dragging that flesh around. Boy, mine's getting rough looking too. You're still dragging that flesh around. But thank God Almighty, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so I have found out that I am not only thankful to be saved from my sins, but to be being sanctified and growing in my life as a Christian as well, as I go through this process of sanctification through the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in my life as a believer. And you have the very same desire. You say, well, why are you saying all this? I'm saying all this so that you can see the evidence in your life that you've truly been born again beyond a shadow of a doubt. And you may doubt who you are, and you may doubt where you are, but you won't doubt what God's done in your life. And you will enjoy this great salvation that you have to the point that you'll want to share it with somebody else and tell them the great marvelous things that Christ has done in you. Because if you don't have that assurance in your own life, how are you going to share it with somebody else? So as you have that assurance in your life, this is what Christ has done in me. And you can share that with others and proclaim the gospel that changed your life the same way. I got notes. I guess I ought to use them. So number one, are you enjoying fellowship with Christ and God? Number two, are you sensitive to sin in your life? That's number two. That was number three, I'm sorry. Secondly, John, are you sensitive to sin in your life? Are you sensitive to sin in your life? Is the pattern of your life to obey God? Is the pattern of your life to obey God? Does that mean you always obey God fully? No, you don't, do you? Because you don't have a glorified body yet. Do you want to? Absolutely. And that's something God is working on us through sanctification. Okay, and so the next thing that we see as we look in the Word here... I'm going to skip my notes because I'm just going down the scriptures, okay? In chapter 2, verse 9, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Do you love, do you actually love your brothers and sisters in Christ?
Some more than others.
What?
Some more than others.
Some more than others. I didn't say like. It doesn't say like. There's some people I love that I don't like because that's just me. But you're right, Nate. Some more than others. There's people that like the New York Yankees and Chicago Bears and the Celtics. I get along with them pretty good. Now, these people that just like the Cardinals and the New York Giants or the San Francisco 49ers or some other NBA team, I just tolerate them. But I love them. In spite of their fact that they're wrong, I love them anyway. No, do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Can you sit there where you are and say, I love you? If you can't, there's something wrong. Because that's the first evidence that I had in my life that God had changed my life. I love people. I love people. I told the Lord a long time ago, I said, don't let me see people, let me see souls. Let me see souls. Because, hey, some of us, we're not much to look at. Especially when you get 80 years old, you break all the mirrors in your house, throw them out, you get rid of a lot of stuff. And then other stuff you bring in that you have never used before. But
What am I saying? I'm saying that as soon as I was saved, when I saw Brigida Austin, I loved her. When I met Noah, I loved him. When Nate came here, I loved him. Before I even knew this lady that I met at the class reunion, the only one I've ever gone to since 1962 when I graduated from high school. We sat down. I didn't know who she was, and I'm not going to tell you who she was because she doesn't want her name spread around. I sat down. I didn't know who she was. She knew who I was. That's the first thing that floored me. She said, "You haven't changed a bit." I said, "Does that mean I've always been ugly?" So we sat down. We started talking to each other. As soon as she started talking to me and I started talking to her, do you know what happened? Her spirit connected with my spirit that we were a child of God. Why? Because she wasn't talking about herself, she's talking about what God had done in her life. It was in her life that God allowed her to have after she was saved. And you know, when I sit down with somebody and they start talking about the Lord, I get excited. I mean, I'm an excitable person. Now, I'm not as bad as John Holmes was. He always wanted to make a train run around the auditorium shouting hallelujah when we had a service. That we have in our heart is going to be something that the Spirit of God puts there in our heart that we love one another. Now then, we're going to... How much time have I got left? Okay, I got 10 minutes. Next time. And it's in verse 15 of the second chapter. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Then he begins to explain what he's talking about. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man. If you love this world system in which we live today, I guarantee you, you've never been saved. Because nothing saddens me more. Just like when I walked through those doors of the church tonight and Gary told me what happened in Lexington, Kentucky. Nothing saddens me more than to see the hate, the evil, the jealousy, the envy, and the strife that we have in our world today. And James puts it pretty clearly. Why do we have quarrel and feudings among you? Because something you don't have, but you want, that somebody else has. The very root of all this strife, envy, hate, culture in our world today that's going on is talked about here in 1 John chapter 2 in this verse that we just read. We live in a dark, dying, dreadful culture system in our world in which we live today. And the problem is, and we don't have it here, but the problem is, in a lot of churches today, they'd rather be politically correct than scripturally true. Because they don't want to run anybody off or hurt anyone's feelings. And my friend, that is not true expository preaching. Because when you preach, "Thus saith the Lord," you're going to step on somebody's toe. You're going to make people mad. You're going to make people upset because they like the culture they're living in and the world system that is in our world today. And that's what it's talking about here. Now, when he's talking about the world, we're not talking about the pretty flowers and the birds and the bees and all this stuff. We're talking about the world system and culture that we see in our world today that is so awful in our world today. And so this is what he's talking about here. And it is something hateful, sinful, evil in our world today. But when Jesus comes back, there won't be a democracy. There'll be a theocracy. And he will right every wrong in our world today. And that's something we're all looking forward to. And I'm going to stop right there because we're going to have our prayer time together. Brother David? I think we need to take one group and pray for these people who these natural disasters have overcome around the world, not only in our own country, but especially in Texas. I think it was South Carolina. I'm not sure everywhere else. But I do know this. I know until Christ comes back, it's going to get worse. I do know that. But we need to pray not only for comfort and help for these families, but we need to pray that even through this, God may be able to break through in their life and call them out of darkness into light. Maybe they will seek the right answers in their life. We need to pray for those on our prayer list that are sick and hurting. John Taylor, we mentioned him, goes to the heart doctor tomorrow. Debbie Lovin, who's not been able to come back to church, had a fracture in her spine, the way I understand it. Need to pray for her.